feels good to, you know, be around the building and start doing stuff again.
Guys, opportunities, then wrestle right itself. They'll either perform or they won't. Dog Pound, welcome to Inside the 6-3 First Place Cleveland Browns. I'm Nathan Zagura, joined by Sarah Carnes. We're currently outside enjoying a beautiful fall day out here at a special practice celebrating Veterans Day with 75 representatives from all branches of the military.
That's right, Nathan, and I'm representing my dad, Mike, who is a U.S. Marine, so thank you for your service, Dad. The Browns are taking this practice to honor some local service members, including Bruce Barnes. He's an Army vet that was injured in Iraq, and he's going to be running out with the team on Sunday.
That is definitely honor and something I can't wait to see this Sunday. And speaking of honors, the Browns are currently in first place in the AFC North all by themselves for the first time in 19 years, Sarah. Let's take a look at the moves that got us a dominating win over the Bengals in primetime that sent a statement to the entire nation.
Welcome to Thursday Night Football. It's the Battle of Ohio, and the excitement is at a fever pitch. Dalton's got the snap, back to pass, pressure coming, up in the pocket, throws it, picked off, Robertson's got it, Hoyer takes the snap, gives the ball, Ben Tate off the left side, he's in, touchdown! Hoyer turns, gives Crowell, bangs his way to the goal line, touchdown! He's back, a short drop, he gets hit by Desmond Bryant and he sacks him! Pressure coming, and he gets sacked again! Desmond Bryant, tee him up again! He's going to go long, and Buster Screen is back there. He's got it! His second interception of the night! And the Browns celebrate a huge win. They are in first place in the AFC North.
What a great game. What a great win. Just so wonderful for the Browns, the city of Cleveland, 24-3. Now they're in first place, and it was a statement that was heard around the nation. Now let's keep these statements going. Get there early on Sunday. Get in your seats. Get loud, because hashtag
we bark together. And besides just enjoying the game this Sunday, you might want to participate in the 50-50 raffle. Already
get
the raffle has raised more than $100,000 for the Cleveland Browns Foundation and other local charities. Last week's winner took more than $26,000 home, and this week the pot is seated at $16,000.
That's straight cash, homie. Get that money. It's $1,000 for every year the Browns have been back in Cleveland. $4,000 per home win. You know, all of these numbers adding up.
Well, it's definitely a lot of money. So find the people in the red vests at the game, get your tickets, and hey, maybe you could walk home with just more than memories of a win.
Now, one player who's sure to walk away a little bit richer this season is Ben Tate, the guy scoring touchdowns at a big clip scored last week against the Bengals. And he sat down to talk team dynamics and how this love of the game started very early.
I can remember ever since I was little, just like wanting to play football, or, you know, just sitting down like young, just staring at the TV when football was on. I think even when my first time playing Pop Warner, I don't even think I was really old enough. I wasn't even supposed to play. I think at the time you had to be like 8 or 9, and I was only like 6, maybe about to turn 7, and I wanted to play really bad. My dad found a way to sign me up so I could play. So I think it was just kind of always just in me. Like, it's nothing that I really like, oh, I like football just from watching or whatever. It was always there since I could remember.
Hoyer turns, gives, take, cutback, 5, going in, touchdown, Ben Tate!
As you're playing the game, or you do, I'm not allowed, you do look up to the scoreboard or whatever and want to see, like, you know, where you're at rushing-wise and, you know, how you're doing, you know, as far as stats. Because sometimes stats are, you know, they're false. It's not, you know, sometimes, you know, you might have a low average or maybe not as many yards, but it don't necessarily mean you didn't play good. Maybe you didn't have space that game, and maybe, you know, it was tough to you just to, for you to get back to the line of scrimmage, and out of that run, it was a good 2-yard run, you know. So stats sometimes are misleading, but now you definitely want to know. You know, who guys who say they don't, I don't really believe them. I think every running back does it.
Here's the give, right side, take, he's in, touchdown! And he lobs the ball up into the air. Ben Tate! He's looking to do a dog pound leap.
The fans are definitely crazy fans. Definitely love their Browns. And I think I can just feel like they're just, you know, they want us to do well. You know, they're hungry for us to, you know, to do well this season. And I can tell they get frustrated when we don't.
Luckily for Ben, the Dog Pound's hunger for this team to do well has been satiated with back-to-back-to-back wins. That's three in a row, and the team now looking to already get their fifth win at home this season.
And it feels so good. I'm already laying out my clothes for Sunday. I'm ready to go. But first, let's hear from Browns reporter Kevin Jones with your Dog of the Week.
All right, Dog Pound, we're here with Dez Bryant. Two sacks in the third quarter against the Cincinnati Bengals. Dez, you win our Dog of the Week award. Wow. What does that mean to you?
Man, it's an honor, man, to be able to make a play in a game like that, on a stage like that against a division rival. You know, it's what we look forward to always as players.
What did you guys do to make Andy Dalton so uncomfortable in that game?
Man, we just were able to get in the backfield, get pressure on him, get past some of those offensive linemen and have him moving his feet. And, you know, quarterbacks don't like that.
Home game this Sunday against the Texans. We need the Dog Pound in full force. What's your message to them, Dez?
Hey, man, we appreciate you guys. You guys have been instrumental in getting us to where we are today. And come out this weekend and we'll put on another show for you guys.
Your Dog of the Week, Desmond Bryant.
When Desmond Bryant is right, he's as good as anybody in the league. He had sacks on back-to-back plays in that game. Fantastic. Speaking of fantastic, we got a lot more ICB coming at you, so we'll be right back.
Coming up next, we sit down with Ray Farmer.
It's to make the Dog Pound proud of who we are and what we're doing.
Tashaun Gibson gets blitzed.
My favorite superhero growing up was...
And Buster Screen recaps his two huge interceptions against the Bengals.
Stack the receiver. Set my hands out, made a good play.
Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. Ray Farmer is in his first year as GM, and Nathan sat down with him to find out where he stands halfway through his first season.
You're constantly tweaking the roster as you go through the season. What's the balance in looking at, you know, guys who may be available to help the Browns right now, who may be released from a team, but also building and looking and getting ready for the draft?
I think that you're never satisfied with kind of where you're at. I think that's the charge that I've been given. And so we constantly work to both find guys that are currently on our roster, guys that are on the street, as well as guys that we may be able to draft or procure some other way. So we look at every potential opportunity to improve the roster, wherever that may be. And it's a balancing act. It definitely is, because you also got to give guys an opportunity where they're at to demonstrate how good they can be. And then you also have to have guys that the coaches are familiar with enough to play games with. So it's definitely a balancing act.
And how is that balancing act? You talk about being kind of in lockstep with Coach Pett in terms of your philosophies about football. I know that went and ushered in a very successful offseason when you look at the veterans you brought in, the people you drafted, the undrafted free agents who have contributed to this team already. What's it like in season in terms of working with the coach on the roster and the tweaks that have been made to kind of drive that competition and make this Cleveland Browns team as good as it can be?
I will say it's interesting. I think Pett and I both believe in the balance of today versus tomorrow. But in that, I think that we both need to understand what the charge is. I know Pett wants to win games, and that's the charge for the fans and the public and the building in general is to win. But inevitably, we also got to prepare for tomorrow. And so balancing those two is difficult. And so during the season, I think the root of all of it is communication. I mean, we talk a lot. We meet a lot. We don't have any secrets. Whatever is on my mind, I share with them. And if I want to make a move, I talk to him about it. If he's not comfortable, sometimes I pull back. Sometimes he says, no, I think we should probably do it too. So it's having that communication and being able to talk about things openly. I think that makes it a lot easier to adjust.
You brought in some veterans this offseason. Dante Whitner from Cleveland, Carlos Dansby, Miles Austin, Andrew Hawkins. They've all made huge contributions immediately. Did you think that's how it was ultimately going to play out? And what have they really brought to this team, not only on the field, but maybe more importantly in the locker room as well to help change this culture?
I think leadership is critical. I think the, like I said, people to me is what really makes it go round. So I think that both Carlos, Dante, all the guys we've brought in, Hawk, Miles, they've all contributed in unique ways. They've all been leaders in unique ways. It's the changing in the belief and the idea of what we're trying to accomplish that I think makes us a unique team. And again, I think that's the one thing our guys really genuinely appreciate is that we're a team. It's not a collection of individuals. But this is a team that relies on the offense, defense, and the special teams to all contribute in a way to help us be successful. So I think that's probably the best part of all of it. And did it work out how I thought it would? I would tell you that it's opportunity. As long as you give guys opportunities, then the rest will write itself. They'll either perform or they won't. But we'll find out with that opportunity.
What do you hope to see from this roster as it evolves in this team over the second half of your first year as a general manager?
Just continue on the path that we're on. Try to get better, play week to week, improve as we move along, and let the chips fall where they may.
And finally, if there's one thing you'd want to let the Dog Pound know about what you're trying to do in here, what you're up to on a daily basis, what would it be?
Improve the product so that they can enjoy what we do. It is to make the Dog Pound proud of who we are and what we're doing. And it's coming. It's going to happen.
Certainly doesn't seem like a first-year GM, Sarah, and I love the job he's done bringing in veterans, finding rookies in the draft, finding rookies off the street to make this first-place Browns team. I also love that he's never satisfied, and one guy who was never satisfied with his performance and has gotten better every year is cornerback Buster Skrine.
That's right. Buster's in his fourth season with the Browns, and after his two picks last week, the veteran cornerback isn't backing down, and we got him out on the field to walk us through those big plays.
Here with Buster Skrine, two interceptions in prime time, the big win over the Bengals that put the Browns in first place. You guys have won three in a row. One of the big reasons is the play of the back end of this defense, generating multiple turnovers seemingly every single week. You had two by yourself last week, those two interceptions. So let's walk through those interceptions against the Cincinnati Bengals off the hand of Andy Dalton. Now, the first one, you're going against Greg Little,
yeah,
guy that you know very well from Cleveland. So when you saw that formation that they sent out at you, what were you thinking?
He had a wide split, so I knew he was going to be running the in-breaking route. So I kind of cheated, peeked at the quarterback a little bit. So I played against Greg, and I know how he runs his slants. So he took his three steps, and as soon as he broke in, I looked in, ball was coming, got a pick.
So you could see from the way that he came off and the way he planted, you knew exactly when he was going to cut, and you were able to just cut right in front and get the interception.
Yeah, I know when a lot of receivers run their slants, they'll try to sell you outside and then break inside on the first three steps.
So try to cross over your face.
Yeah, so. Uh-huh. He tried to sell me outside, and as soon as he sold me outside, I was thinking, in-breaking route, got a pick.
Boom, so you got that pick. So that was the first one. Second one, third and 15, you're in man-to-man on the outside. They run a vertical on you.
Yep.
You know he's going to maybe take a shot at you. How did that play unfold, and at what point did you know, hey, I got a chance to get this pick?
Third down, third and 15, late in the game. I knew the quarterback was going to take a shot because that's what they tell most quarterbacks. It would just be like a punt. So
all right, I'm going to run the route at you. So I'm running the vertical at you.
Okay.
And you're there. The ball's in the air.
So the ball's in the air. We're running. Quarterback's in there.
Yep.
First thing I try to do, I try to stack the receiver.
Okay. So what does that mean to stack the receiver?
So stacking the receiver is getting in front of the receiver. So you pretty much cut him off so he can't really run.
So you're controlling the tempo. So you're getting into me. I can't get past you. And then you have an opportunity to spring forward and get the ball once you make that
move. I can kind of just push myself off and catch the ball.
All right, so it's in the air. You got me stacked up.
I can't get around you. So as soon as I had him stacked, I figured I was the receiver now because on the path I was taking, the ball was taken, I had a good enough position to make the pick. So stacked the receiver, set my hands out, made a good play. He tried to rip it out.
Tried to get in there, and you're like, get out of here.
Yeah,
get out of here with that weak stuff.
Yeah, had to, and the referee gave me the ball. So
that was it. Two interceptions, two big ones, 24-3, prime time. What kind of a statement did you guys make in that game against the Bengals?
We just showed that a lot of people were saying we've been beating teams that aren't that good in the past three games. But as a team, we wanted to show everybody we was for real. And just beating a good team in Cincinnati and having a dominant performance just shows the potential we have to being a great team.
I think Buster is a perfect example of when your confidence grows, you can play freely and start making plays, and that's exactly what he's doing.
I think so, too, and I think we need to get him in the hot seat.
He is hot right now.
But this week, we have his partner in interceptions, Tashawn Gibson.
My favorite superhero growing up was Flash. Love Flash, man. He was definitely one of the most underrated superheroes. Funniest player on the team would definitely have to be Dante Whitner, hands down. Never know what's going to come out of Dante Whitner's mouth. Never know. My first car was a 2001 Crown Victoria. It was red on red, had big 24-inch rims, man. It was pretty crazy. If I wasn't a football player, I would be probably a high school coach. Love the game of football. Love to get back to kids to help them pursue their dreams. My favorite place to go in Cleveland is Cleveland Chop downtown. Everybody should try that. If you haven't been, you gotta go. The most famous person I've ever met would have to be Deion Sanders. Which is pretty cool. I looked up to Deion Sanders growing up, so I thought that was a huge accomplishment for me. If I could have any teammate as a roommate, it'd probably be Buster Skrine, man. That's my guy, man. He keeps me with laughs, man. He's unpredictable. Pretty cool guy.
They want to be roommates. Well, if they keep this up, intercepting passes on a weekly basis, they'll probably have that opportunity to be roommates at the Pro Bowl in Arizona.
Well, I sure hope you're right about that. And we'll be right back with more from our honored guests after this.
Stay tuned for our exclusive with center Alex Mack.
It feels good to, you know, be around the building and start doing stuff again.
And our junior reporter takes on Joe Hayden.
I've heard you have a lot of shoes. What's your favorite pair?
Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. This Veterans Day, we're happy to pay tribute to all military servicemen and women. And leading up to our Salute to Service game this Sunday, we're very excited to be part of the tribute here at Browns headquarters. And Nathan sat down with our Salute to Service winner, Alex Mack.
Alex, first of all, how are you feeling? And by the way, nice cast here for the Salute to Service week.
There, Salute
the
to Service week, I decided to go all out. Doing pretty good, you know, getting back active again, and it feels good to, you know, be around the building and start doing stuff again.
Certainly good to see you around the building. It's been a nice see kind of scooting through the cafe and everything back in the mix. The real reason we're here with you today is it's the Salute to Service period for the NFL, and obviously every team has a Salute to Service award winner, somebody on the team who exemplifies that Salute to Service, and you've been selected to be the Browns winner this year. What does that mean to you?
It means a lot. You know, it's something, a real big honor, I think. A lot of guys do a lot of work, and to be singled out for that is, you know, a real big honor for me. I know I did the USO trip a couple years ago, and it was one of the best experiences of my life, and I absolutely want to go again. It was really fun. It's something I wanted to support, and it's something that, you know, it's good to be involved with, and it feels good to, you know, be honored.
And why is saluting the servicemen of this country so important to you?
I think what they do is a real honorable thing. I think they have a real tough job, and I think they deserve some, you know, pat on the back for it.
You talked about that USO tour. Where did you go, and why was it so special?
I was able to go to Kyrgyzstan and Afghanistan, and no matter where I went, there was a Browns fan there. You know, every base, every fob, every single spot we went, some person would have their flag up in their
That's
dorm
awesome.
Or something, or at their office. And so just how much they appreciate football, and when they're out there, they can't wait for Sundays. You know, they can't wait till season starts, and they can, you know, all get together, and they have to watch a game at, like, you know, 2 a.m. because of the time difference, and they do it, you know, and they get excited about it, and just to see how much they appreciate us, and it was nice for us to go out and appreciate them.
So nice to see Alex Mack back in the building, and what a great guy. He cares so much about the veterans and those who serve this country. Really remarkable stuff.
And speaking of veterans, let's take a look at their day here at Browns headquarters.
It's awesome. I mean, what the Browns do with the veterans of the area, they've always been big backers. This is like the third or fourth time I've been here, and they've always been welcome to all the military veterans in the area or just any branch, so not just the Marine Corps.
What a beautiful day. What a blessing. This is a great opportunity, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
Well, I think the biggest message is just to say thank you, because they sacrificed a lot for us to be able to come out here on a Tuesday and practice football and then go out on Sundays and play the game that we love. And we can't thank them enough for the things that they do for our country.
It's a fantastic facility, a great organization. Really appreciate Mr. Haselman and Mike Pettine taking the time to meet and greet everybody, the whole team. Everybody came over, said hey, said thanks, and I'd like to say thank you for them for taking the time to recognize us, and that really means a lot.
So nice to see the smiles on the faces of those veterans, people who do so much for our lives and for our country. It's great to be able to give back to them in some small way here at Browns headquarters. All right, we'll be back with more of Inside the Cleveland Browns right after this.
Stay tuned for High School Highlight and our junior reporter asked Joe Hayden the tough questions.
If you could have any pet, what would it be?
Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. Community service is very important to the Browns, and another place they've had a huge impact in is high school football. Together with PNC, the Cleveland Browns Foundation has donated more than $12,000 to high schools in the area. So let's take a look at some of the football stars of tomorrow.
luck to everybody in the high school football playoffs. And now, speaking of making an impact, that's what Joe Hayden's been doing on the regular. The last 3 weeks, the Pro Bowl quarterback has been locked down. Joe, just ask A.J. Green. And he sat down with our junior reporter, Kennedy, who got the dirt on our Pro Bowl CB.
Who is your favorite player on the Cleveland Browns team?
I would say Big Phil Taylor.
Why do you like him so much?
Because we're from around the same neighborhood. We grew up together, so I've known him since high school, so he's a good friend of mine.
I've heard you have a lot of shoes. What's your favorite pair?
Man, that's tough. I would say my Back to the Futures, Marty McFly's. I had them custom, so they're black, but those are my favorite shoes.
Are you scared of anything?
I'm scared of a lot of things. I'm scared of, like, all bugs. I'm scared of little bugs. I'm scared of animals. I don't really like dogs that I don't know. I mean, I'm scared of a lot of things.
If you could have any pet, what would it be?
If I could have any pet, I don't really like animals, man. But if I could have any pet, I would have, I have a fish tank. I would have fish, yes. Nice fish. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is your favorite Disney movie?
Aladdin.
Me too. I like it.
I know you're a football player right now, but what would you want to be when you retire?
I want to be a personal trainer. You know, I want to just help people just to get their bodies right. Because my dad, actually, I have a gym now. That's a personal training gym back in Maryland. And my parents run it. So I think after I'm done with the league, that's something I want to look and work at.
Now, that is a gym I want to work out at. Can you imagine how ripped I could be if Joe Hayden was my personal trainer?
Oh, my goodness. Get some tickets to the gun show. Woo!
That's right. And thanks for joining us on ICB. Please make sure to take time to pay tribute to veterans today and every day.
Absolutely. And Dog Pound, remember to get there early, be loud, get in your seats, have fun, cheer on the Browns as they look to get their fifth home win, stay atop the AFC North against the Houston Texans. For Sarah Carnes, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thank you for joining us, and thank you to all the veterans who serve our country so bravely. We'll be back next week with another edition of Inside the Cleveland Browns.